My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
If you can find the time to explore the mind of a stripper,
then you can find the time to spend with your actual family.
Prime Time with Isaac and Sue.
Damn! What they on? All steroids and no carbs? They're the thick-ass kids.
This is Prime Time.
We're not like you. We're grown-ups.
Your source for the best in local, regional, and national sports. Here are Isaac Ropp and Jason Sakanik with Primetime on 1080 The Fan.
Hey, what it do?
Right.
What's up?
Second round of the draft. I'm so excited.
Yeah,
I've been glued to my radio.
Someone very prominent just asked, is it possible that a show can talk about the second round of the NBA draft for a full 3 hours? And the answer, we just found out, is yes.
Yeah, and you're about to.
Thanks to Danny Moran.
Let's go. That man loves the NBA draft. Loves it.
Yeah.
And well, I know Rust was contributing, but by himself for the most part. Oh, you know, it's not even...
Yeah, no Dusty.
Like, it wasn't a back and forth, but
that is a
3 hours of second round of draft with two people is enough. It was basically one man on 3 hours.
Amazing.
That is a clear the deck. Vaughn Wafer is on the floor. Move everyone out of the way. One on five, let's go.
It's called talent.
That's right. I did hear, though, when I was driving around...
Seriously, that's a lot of talent.
That is a lot of talent. I guess... I wouldn't even know where to begin. I did, as I was driving around today, I have all the kind of some of the national stations like lined up on a bank, and I'll flip through to kind of see what people are talking about. And I did hear the greatest interview that I've ever heard on a draft in my life. And I believe it was Andy Katz who was talking about the NBA draft, and the host, he was on with an African-American gentleman. And they were talking about the French invasion because four French guys went in the first round. And I didn't know this. None of those guys are actually on the French Olympic team, which is kind of weird because France is one of the favorites to win silver or bronze.
Wait, you're going to have to explain that.
I guess they're not good enough. Like Wemby's on there and a couple other of the
Gobert,
NBA guys.
Probably.
Gobert's on there.
All right.
And so I was kind of like, oh my God, four guys in the first round and none of them are on the Olympic team. And that's supposed to be a team that's going to contend for silver or bronze. One of the favorites for that. Obviously the U.S.
Are we the favorite?
We are the favorite.
Again?
By leaps and bounds. Yeah.
Wonder why.
Yeah. Turns out we got good players.
Steroids, you think?
But they were...
America,
so they were talking.
Yeah!
They were talking about the French invasion and why this is happening. And I I had no, I was just kind of listening and I wasn't really paying much attention. Like, and I was like, oh my God, we're going to get a Jimmy the Greek moment. He was trying to say without saying that France was getting more black guys, but he couldn't say it. So he was like, he was saying, if you look
Did you mix in a black?
He's like, if you look at the makeup of the French players, they're very diverse in the black, background please, that you more diverse than you would think from traditional Frenchmen. And then he went on to be like, if you look at like Argentina and Lithuania, even Spain that have had their rise in the basketball landscape, they don't have the diversity and the background of the players. I'm like, say it, just come out and say it. France doesn't have the whites. And he would not say it. And it was so awkward.
Well, they do have the whites, but, and they've always had the whites.
Yes.
But they have more black people now.
So he was.
And that's why they have better basketball players? Is that black, what we're please, saying?
That is what he was alluding to. And it was incredible, but he couldn't say it. And it was, you love booth tension. I'm telling you, it was phenomenal. Listening to someone clearly trying to make a point and then realizing, I don't think I can make this point. If I make this point, I don't know if I'll be putting on this headset again.
What did the black guy say?
I don't know if I'm going to be putting on this headset again.
Nothing. He just laid out while it was just this awkward stammer through. And he brought, like I said, he brought up Argentina, Lithuania, and Spain, and how they've all had their moments but didn't have the... And he would say, he would just stumble. The diverse...
Black dome.
Background.
God.
It was incredible. That was the best. It was the best draft analysis I've heard in the last 48 hours. I loved it. You seriously wanted to be like, I don't know, the team's not as wide as it used to be. Oh,
you mean the country's not as wide?
The country, yes, yes. The country.
I did see resurface the clip that Isaac referenced yesterday. The Seth Greenberg clip was going viral again of the Mo Bamba comparison.
Yeah, yeah. Seth Greenberg once said that Mo Bamba was a hybrid between Anthony Davis and Joel Embiid.
Yeah, not so much. Then, you know.
That would have been awesome,
though. You know, hybrids can mean a lot of things. You know, he may indeed be a hybrid. What if he was just a hybrid of all the crappy parts and didn't get any of the good? You know, you can be a hybrid of lots of things. Doesn't mean you're going to be good.
And that is why today is one of the worst days in sports talk radio history. But, you know, I guess people want that content, right? Like,
yeah, I guess.
They want to know. Like, people are tuning in like, hey, Donovan Klingon, what do we, you know, what's going on? Who's this guy?
A plus.
Right
Thank
in the
you.
Butt.
I was watching the draft. So for those that don't, okay, several things here. One, Danny did a great show. If you want second round draft coverage,
that is your man.
It's over. You missed it.
Yeah. Go back and listen to
Go
that.
Go back and listen.
Because he knows
everybody
way more about what's going on than we do. As a matter of fact, I'm still confused as to what the Blazers traded for today, because they pulled off a bunch of trades and it's very confusing.
As far as
but
I know,
it's all like second round picks.
Yeah, as far as I know, the Blazers do not have a pick.
No, they've traded away both of their second round picks. Yeah. They got three firsts from New York, but how they got rid of and what they got for the second one is, dude,
is a lot of confusion.
It's just so
one of their picks went through like four different teams.
Exactly. And then it got traded like five times. I don't know. Who cares? It's the second round of the draft. I'm starting to get viscerally pissed.
Not going
to
be in Portland.
No one cares.
There's one thing we know about the Portland Trailblazers draft.
It's over.
Wait.
We think.
Yeah, it's not over. We got a couple picks left, man. And by the way, officially, we are on Los Angeles Lakers watch. The Celtics did not pick LeBron's little bratty kid. So now we're at 55 right now.
LeBron James.
What else is I going to tell you?
I don't know. You were talking
about... Well, I had a myriad of things.
Well, you were talking about the coverage is over because that was Danny, and then we're confused about what trades Portland made.
I know what I was going to tell you. I was watching the draft. For those who don't know, it's actually almost over.
Yeah.
Because it started just after one for some reason. Maybe they're trying to clear the deck for the debate.
That would be, well, that no one cares. They just want to get this thing over with.
Well, if no one cares, then why did you put it on a different day?
Well, I think the the teams wanted it this way because it gives them a chance to kind of reset from what I was understanding that the second round was kind of a very chaotic thing. And now with the new CBA, they want to be able to clear the deck, and that way you can kind of finagle some of these second round picks, which have really turned into more of like cash and assets as opposed to players. So it just gives the teams a chance to kind of regroup.
Well, anyway, I was doing my award-winning show prep and I was watching the draft. I turned it on and I saw that the Blazers may have drafted, is it Tyler Kolek? The kid from...
That's correct, the Marquette kid.
Yeah. I thought the Blazers got another...
Wrong.
Hot. Yeah, another white guy.
Wrong.
But they did not.
No.
They had already traded
that's gone.
That to New York. So New York picked Tyler Kolek, and I like Tyler Kolek. I saw him play in college at Marquette. He led college basketball in assists. So I was about to come on here and do a whole show on Tyler Kolek.
This is breaking news.
Wait, we have breaking news?
It's official. What? It has happened.
Bronny?
Bronny James has been selected 55th overall by the Los Angeles Lakers.
Nepotism at its finest. That is phenomenal.
I love it.
And I love that they're now at ESPN are going to have to pretend that this was anything other than LA kissing the ass of LeBron James. How awkward is it when he walks into that locker room and everyone knows the only reason you're there is because your daddy wanted you there? Boy, that's awkward.
Steal of the draft.
I guess. No one else wanted me, but my dad said he wouldn't come play for the Lakers. Look at the Lakers, the draft room clapping right now. They're like, yeah.
Got our guy.
Look at Pelinka. He's smiling
douche.
Like...
douche. I guess before the draft, they were saying, I guess old Clutch Sports was telling any team that if you drafted him, he won't sign, he'll go play in Australia.
Yeah, Rich Paul was calling and threatening franchises, draft him and you won't get him.
I've never seen anything like it.
Is that Kurt Rambis?
It wouldn't
Is he still in there?
It wouldn't shock me.
I think that's Kurt Rambis.
Right, well,
still a part of the Lakers front office?
What else is Kurt Rambis doing?
Well, anyway, what was I going to tell you? Oh, I was going to do a whole breakdown of Tyler Kolek because I like him.
Yeah.
I was about to give the Blazers some props, but no, it doesn't matter. He went to the Knicks.
I wanted you to break down the big Quentin Post.
Who's that?
He's the new center for your Golden State Warriors. Thank you.
Ooh.
Is that a Boston College?
That, Buck?
I don't know.
Well, and he's, you know,
I don't know at all.
He's a big what?
The Tyler Kolek thing was interesting. The reason that he stands out to me is during the season, he was, I think, suspended for a couple games, and people said it was due to academics, and reports came out that he couldn't read. And then it required a compliance officer coming out and say,
yeah,
that's crazy. Of course he can read. Yeah. Anyone like spreading misinformation like that can kick rocks. Well, it came up yesterday that he had the worst Wunderlich score of anybody in the NBA draft combine history and wasn't going to get drafted because of it. People had to dispel that, too. So someone likes to say that he's a dum-dum.
Well, and is it possible that he is a dum-dum?
Yeah, but maybe he can read, though.
I would hope he can read. Is it Marquette, for God's sakes? Look, I played with some guys at BYU, which is a pretty decent academic school. Yeah. I played with some guys that, you know.
I think Dexter Manley admitted he couldn't read, right?
Yeah, Dexter Manley couldn't read. Yeah, he came out and said he was illiterate. And, you know, look, not being able to read there's a spectrum to that, right? There's not being able to read and then, like, at all. And then, you know, you're not able to read certain level of books. You know, there's degrees to that thing.
Well, that concludes our second round NBA draft coverage.
We think!
No, it's over. Ronnie's gone. Blazers are out. We're done.
It's over!
No more.
I have nothing against that kid, but I just can't wait for him to fall so flat on his face.
It kind of sucks for him, right?
It does.
There's not a part of this that you think if you're in his shoes, this is awesome, right?
I don't know. His head may be so far up his dad's ass that he has no, you know.
Well, doesn't he get paid?
Yeah, on whatever second round contract. But he probably made more at USC than he's going to make as a second round pick in the NBA, you know.
Yeah, but he plays for the Lakers.
He does play for LA.
That'll get him some tail.
Well, I think he already had that at USC. And
already had that being LeBron's kid.
Well, exactly. I just, look, at some point, like, this is all, I mean, we know that this is just beyond ridiculous, but at some point, dude, push comes to shove, you do have to play the game, and he struggled to stay on the floor at USC. So, you know, he has no business being on an NBA floor, and it's going to be interesting to see how LeBron handles it once he realizes, oh my God, my kid's not any good. Because he's the dude that came out, and look, say what you will about LeBron. LeBron's the one that caused all this. He's the one that said, hey, my kid could play in the NBA right now. He's the guy that made this happen. This isn't a Los Angeles Lakers thing. He held them hostage. He's got a player option. He can opt in or out of it. I guarantee that he went to the Lakers and was like, dude, draft my kid or else. That's the only reason that that kid is drafted at all. I've never seen anything like it in the history of sports. But LeBron can't, what he can't do is go to JJ Redick and say, hey, play my kid or else. You can't have him on the floor at 6'1 and just getting absolutely dominated out there. He just, that can't happen. And so is it enough for LeBron to just have him on the end of the bench? Because he said he won't do a two-way contract, and so obviously LA knows that. This is going to be one of the more awkward things. And like I said, I've never seen more dishonest coverage of anything in my entire life than the ESPN talking douches pretending that this is anything other than LeBron holding LA hostage, where they have to be like, he's got upside and the athleticism, and someone may be interested other than the Lakers. No. No one even sniffed him. Someone came out, some executive yesterday, anonymously was like, look, no one's touching this kid unless it's the Los Angeles Lakers. At least they're behind the scenes. Someone's being honest about it.
And that concludes our second round coverage of the NBA draft.
We think.
Actually, it doesn't, because I was just reading about Kyle Filipowski, and that's great. Have you seen any of that stuff?
I guess there's some kerfuffle about he's got like an old girlfriend, that, and there's Mormonism involved.
She was his babysitter when he was a kid, and now she is his girlfriend.
Whoa.
And there's a whole thing about...
Well, I saw her consoling him last night when he was left in the green room not picked in the first round, so, but I didn't realize the connection.
Well, there's a whole thing about Mormonism and... him being cut off from the family. It's a whole thing. I'm going to get into it. So our second round draft coverage is not over.
Here's the situation.
Never
hold on, everybody.
It really never ends. You're right. And by the way,
you think you can escape the second round of the draft? Nice try.
And that concludes our second round NBA draft coverage.
We think.
All right, we'll get our poll question in next on The Fan.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
All right. It's Thursday. The draft is almost over. And we party. Okay.
Ow!
We party. Blazers got Donovan Clingan. And he is the subject of, he's one of the subjects of today's poll question. Okay.
We have multiple subjects.
Yeah, we have two because the Blazers got two new dudes.
That's true.
Both white guys. The poll question is on X at 1080 The Fan. It is brought to you by AAA Heating and Cooling, a family business helping families for over 60 years. AAAIAQ.com. Yesterday's question, how much do you trust NBA draft analysis? 54% said a little, 25% said never, and 21% said I sort of have to, don't I?
I think I would go with that. You kind of have to.
You kinda,
I mean, I don't know. I mean, when we made the the Blazers front office and me, you know, they consulted me on this.
Yeah, they call you.
Yeah. Look, I know that there are people out there that are really dialed in. My first thing was I texted Danny. I was like, hey, who the hell is this? But when a move gets made for a 23-year-old forward for the Washington Wizards, come on. How many Blazer fans?
Come on, man.
Being honest, 80-90% all said the same thing. Who the hell is this guy?
Come on!
Stephen A. Smith was on the NBA coverage, and when the Knicks drafted the French guy late in the first round, he was like, who the hell is this? I've never heard of him.
Well, that's what I think people need to know, is that when a move like that happens, you expect even the best experts to have something for you.
Yeah.
And they don't.
No.
Because not even they know who this guy is.
So,
anyway,
when it comes to the analysis, all I try to do groupthink when it comes to these sorts of things to just see what the general narrative is. And because I'm not, and like even with Donovan Clingan,
what
I watched UConn play probably 2.5 to 3 times this year, non-tournament, and I didn't even know that he had foot problems. Did you?
He has foot problems?
He had a couple foot injuries.
Why did they take his ass?
Because I guess they were fairly minor. They were independent of each other. And once he got healthy, then he took off.
He's Greg Oden.
I didn't know. See, that's my point. Like, I had no idea. I hadn't heard one time about any sort of foot issue. And it turns out he had a couple foot injuries, and none of them were serious. I saw him play 2 or 3 times during the regular season, bits and pieces, and then I watched him in the tournament. How the hell am I making any sort of definitive statement based on that? So you kind of go through, and the way I view it is there were a ton of people saying that guy was in consideration for a top 3 pick in the NBA draft, and then he wasn't going to be there at 7, and that Portland really wanted him, and he was their target all along. So the fact that you didn't have to move up to get him, the fact that he was there and it was who you wanted all along, I don't know, then to me, whether or not he pans out, he doesn't seem like the sort of guy in my mind that makes sense in today's NBA. But again, I'm not a GM. I'm not building a roster. So if that's who Portland identified and that's who they got, then to me, that's successful. Now, 3 years from now, we may look back on this and be like, what a bunch of dumbasses. Why were they trying to get a heavy-footed 7-foot guy with potentially foot problems, right? Like, there's no way to know. Whereas at least in the NFL, that is a sport that I'm way more comfortable with, it's a sport that I watch way more of, I feel like I can make a little stronger of, hey, this is what I think on that. But when it comes to the NBA draft, man, I'm trusting the analysis of people that do this for a living, but I try to get as many opinions on guys as I can, and you can try to form a little puzzle based on that.
The analysis from people that do it for a living, that's the problem, is they don't know. No one knows. Like I said, Seth Greenberg knows a lot about basketball.
Yeah.
And he said Mo Bamba was a hybrid of Anthony Davis and Joel Embiid. So no one knows.
Well, and this is what I will tell you is I don't care what the GM says when it comes to the post interview. Like, I listened to a little bit.
Do we have some Joe Cronin audio
today?
I'm
sure we do.
We do have Joe Cronin audio.
He talked for about 13 minutes. Mm-hmm. I do think there was one thing he said, because I listened to that last night when I was driving home. I caught the little press conference. It wasn't very long. And it wasn't that late. There was one piece in there that I was like, okay, I'll take that. But everybody after the press conference, again, I'm not trying to throw any shade at anyone and say that, you know, that this is a pile of horse ears or whatever, but whatever Joe Cronin says, realize this is the same guy that told us that they were doing everything they could to build around Dame, that they were pushing all their cards in the middle, said that Dame and Scoot could play together, said that Scoot was the rare guy that was not going to have any sort of hiccups coming into the NBA and was going to hit the ground running. Don't even get me started on the Neil O'Shea crap that we heard over the years, from Luke Babbitt to Zach Collins and the rest of them. So this is like when in free agency or in the NFL draft or any other, where there's never been someone that's come out and been like, I really hated our draft class. Now these guys suck, and this isn't what I wanted. So I take all of that stuff and kind of roll my eyes at it.
I would actually go the opposite of that. I would say that over time, no one's been more vocal about not listening to a franchise than me.
Yes.
Because that was the whole Neil Olshey thing. He was, and a lot of franchises do this, but he was especially skilled at this, mm-hmm. is the franchises, like I've always said, that the last entity you should listen to if you want to get the truth is the franchise.
Yeah.
Because they spit their truth.
100%.
Not the truth. Mm-hmm. And that was Olshey to a T. They spin and sometimes even flat out lie because they have an interest in getting you on board with what they are saying so they can try to spin and fool you. Mm-hmm. Okay. But when it comes to the draft, I would say that's the one time I want to hear what the GM says, because I do want to view what they were thinking through their lens.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean it's right, but the thing about it is there is no truth yet.
No.
So when we're looking for the truth, you don't want to go to the franchise. But when there's no truth, I do get something out of listening to at least what they were thinking, sure. and how they are going about building out the roster or picking players or making trades. So I actually do want to hear them right after the draft, because I just want to hear what they say about that. Now, that's not to say you should always listen to the franchise. Again, be very careful about that. But in this instance, that's the one time I kind of want to hear Joe Cronin clips, and maybe we'll play him.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll do that. Yeah. You guys can hear from Joe Cronin.
There is a little piece in there, and when he said it, and it sounds like everyone else that was in the room, like people were talking about it a bunch today, and I don't know how much of it, you know, was just slip of the tongue. I thought it was fairly telling that Cronin seemed to lay out.
Do you want to hear that
yeah.
soundbite?
Yeah, this is the soundbite.
Everyone thought this was really interesting, who he mentioned and who he didn't.
Yeah.
We've got to continue to build this talent base, and you know, we're committed to Scoot and Shaden being a massive part of what we're doing, and how do we find ways to, you know, give them the support they need and make them better and maximize their development. So it's continually seeking players that we can add to this roster that we can grow with and build together with.
So, I mean,
yeah, so no mention of Ayton, no mention of Simon.
No, and we've often, and this is kind of what we've thought all along, but I did think it was telling it, and someone may ask him about that, and he'll do the Neil, move on. It's not breaking news. I can't say everybody.
Guys,
but
move on.
I do think that in these moments when you're answering questions, a lot of times you're just talking off the cuff, and you know, you throw out there what is the truth. Like you said, I think these press conferences, you know, there probably is a little something more there than there is normally. And I found it telling that he talked about putting pieces around Shaden and Scoot. And then you add a young 7'2" center in that. And I think you're starting to see the path of a year from now, 6 months now, 2 years from now, what does this team look like? I think it looks much different. But the thing that I feel like we know is that those three pieces, Klingon, Scoot, and Shaden.
I'm going to that lake.
And of course, you know, now making the move for old Danny there. This seems to be those four guys, I would assume, are the core moving forward.
All right, poll question today. It's up there on X at 1080 The Fam. What is most likely? Donovan Klingon is good. Donovan Klingon is bad. Denny Avdija is meh. Or Denny Avdija is solid.
There's a lot of there are a lot of choices.
That's a tough choice because you can only pick one.
Only pick one.
So vote and vote hard. It's on X at 1080 The Fan. All right, when we get back, Kyle Filipowski was groomed. And could that have cost him a first-round draft slot?
Here's the situation.
Let's go to Buck with SportsCenter. All right, second round of the NBA draft complete. Bronny goes 55 to the Lakers. I just ordered my jersey, my Bronny jersey.
The Nike ad's already out.
Hopefully it's going to be, it's going to just, hopefully his jersey will just say Bronny and not James.
The ad is, it's a photo of him as a little kid, like with a basketball in his hand. It says, pressure was never a question. And then it shows him now and it says, when passion was always the answer.
All right.
What a douche.
Come on. Who ran that? Was it Nike?
That's Nike, yeah.
God, what a bad look for them. I love Nike, and that's terrible.
And then Woj.
Or was that a LeBron threat, too? Hey, you're going to put this out the moment they draft him.
There's a clip of Woj going around, too, where Woj is on the ESPN set, and Woj is angry. He goes, hey, I don't want to hear a thing about nepotism. Nepotism is rampant in the NBA. It's in the front office. It's in management. It's in coaching.
That doesn't mean this isn't the most egregious display of it. Jeez.
They've all gotten together. They've been threatened by LeBron.
Circle the wagons, boys. We're not letting them take us down.
And then Stephen A's like, yeah, absolutely. I agree. I love that LeBron and Clutch Sports have everyone by the balls and no one, and I mean no one, in the national media actually has any sort of integrity to say what's going on. I love it.
So now to Kyle Filipowski of Duke. He's the big white guy from Duke.
Yeah. Who, you know, he's a 7-foot guy that can move. He averaged like 16 and 8. Like, you would think if Klingon goes 7, you would think that Filipowski, you know, was a first round pick.
I know nothing, as I have mentioned many times.
Yes.
Okay. However.
However,
I have a hot second round draft take. Or no, a total overall draft take.
Okay, what do we got?
I like what Utah did.
You like the Utes, huh?
Well, yeah, they got Cody Williams, Isaiah Collier from USC.
Who at one point was viewed as a lottery guy.
And Kyle Filipowski.
Well, and I don't know if you...
I mean, that's pretty good.
I don't know if you realize the whole nepotism fit here, because we got LeBron, you know, forcing his kid to the Lakers. Guess what's in Utah?
The Mormon Church?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What is going on with Filipowski?
Yeah.
Apparently.
So.
He's been brainwashed.
Yeah, so here's the deal. Filipowski, I guess there was a podcast where Jonathan G...
Gavoni.
Gavoni, yes.
He is
NBA
a
guy.
Big draft guru. He knows what he's doing.
So he, as much as anyone, can know what they're
doing. Yeah.
But he's kind of the industry leader as far as weird draft knowledge goes. Yes.
So he's talking with Zach Lowe, and he basically said Kyle Filipowski didn't have very good workouts, and he also didn't interview well.
He said he was awkward and nervous. And
yeah, but then he also mentioned that his relationship with his girlfriend is what may be turning some teams off, and he said he's heard it a lot from, you know, in just whispers around the league that Filipowski's girlfriend, she babysat him when he was young.
Yeah.
She is like 25 or 26
now. She's 28.
Oh, she's 28 now.
Oh, because you know who's spreading this rumor? It's his family.
Yeah, his brother and mom are on social media.
His brother and mom are on Twitter.
I've got that right here, but I was teeing that up. So she apparently babysat him. They now date. And the speculation is, or the accusation is that she was grooming him for the Mormon Church and to get in his wallet at a very young age. She's managed to technically do that and cut him off from his family. So here is Daniel Filipowski, Kyle's oldest brother. He is on Twitter and he says, I am Kyle's oldest brother. You all don't have a clue of the extent of this story that has to do with his girlfriend. There's a story that has been pushed under the table for nearly 2 years now. Well, I don't know who this is. Somebody saying, hey, DM me. And this guy, Daniel, says, if Gavoni responds to my DMs, he would be able to get the full story that no one knows about outside of who's involved, Duke coaching staff and his agent. And then this guy says, oh, wow, hit up Giovanni. I'm not the right NBA newsbreaker for a big story like this. And then he says, other than messaging him on IG, don't know how to get in touch with him, but look up and read on Mormon grooming and brainwashing, and you'll find some introductory details in there to connect some dots into the story that is going on here.
Yikes.
Then mom chimes in, yeah. Becky, and she says, you are opening a 2-year issue, and she is 28 with an end game 3 years ago to have a diamond ring on her hand. When Kyle left Duke, he was still in high school.
Yeah, I guess when she had already graduated college, she took him to his senior prom. Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then there's a bunch of photos of her, like, on Instagram within, you know, doing Mormon church things. And so
she's doing a little hawk tour.
I get, well, you know, maybe some soaking going on.
That
thing. Oh, what's happening? I just think it's great that if we can do the whole LeBron forcing, you know, Bronny to L.A., can we think that maybe this is a giant Mormon scheme to have Filipowski fall in the draft so that the Utah Jazz, home of the Mormons, can scoop him up?
Well, they did.
Yeah, now it they
worked.
Did.
If that's true, it worked.
Hey, you know what? I like where this is going. It was kind of weird. Now, I did hear some stuff about him before the draft on some of the podcasts I was listening to, that people don't think he can shoot very well and all that, but neither can Klingon. And I'm not saying they're the same player, but like they have very, very similar numbers. In fact, Filipowski's numbers are actually a little bit better.
He might have a better offensive ceiling than Klingon.
Yeah, but he's not the defensive player. Right. But it's just weird that like a 7-foot athletic guy that can move around, who was a really good college player, fell all the way in the draft. It's kind of strange. But wouldn't that be something if teams were like, I don't like this Mormon thing? You know, there aren't a lot of BYU kids that get drafted.
Yeah, I mean,
Jimmer.
But I think that's mainly because we don't have very good basketball players, but still.
Yeah, you're not like France.
No.
You're not very integrated.
We are not. We don't have the diverse background, according to Andy Katz.
Yeah, I guess I can see why that's a huge deal for teams, but I don't really know why it's that big of a deal. Well, I don't know. Maybe he's seen as gullible and like.
Well, is it possible too that you're just if you meet a kid and again you don't love his game, but you think he's athletic and you think he's a project, and then you're like, man, this. It's the same thing. Like you hear if you've got bad family issues, you come from a bad background and you make poor choices and you're just not comfortable. And maybe this is one of those where you just feel like there's a lot going on and that he thinks other things are more important. I don't know. Or maybe they hate the Mormons. I couldn't tell you.
Our good friend John Bertrand is in. He says, I watch a lot of Duke basketball. Kyle F. is a piece of crap. He reminds me of Zach Collins. Enough said.
Oh, wow. Yeah, Filipowski. I forgot. He's the guy that that did the flop.
Ah, my knee.
Yeah. He in the court storming,
the
yeah.
Flop on the court storming. He wasn't hurt, little bitch.
I just love that his mom and brother on draft
like
night are just kneecapping him.
They're kneecapping her.
Well, yeah, but in return, they're
trying to blow the whistle on this story. Like, hey, look at this, man. Our son got hijacked by this bitch.
There are people. I do know. Be careful with this one. I had someone once come to me. As someone that used to attend said religion, I often get approached by people looking for like the inside scoop. And I tell you, and I said this, by the way, when I was going to church, you should not use me as any sort of barometer for what the Mormon church has going on. But it has happened on more than one occasion where someone has come to me because a family member gets into a serious relationship and they feel like, you know, that they're being... they're being tricked or they're being brainwashed. And I'm like, well, would you say that if it was any other religion? They're like, well, it's the Mormons. I'm like, it's not as weird as you think. It's just, you know, so anytime, like if you start dating someone that's Jewish, you start dating someone that's Muslim, or you date someone that's vegan, you tend to take on some personalities of the people that you're dating. But the Mormon thing does kind of weird some people out from time to time.
Someone brings up a good question on the text line. Are we burying the main story? Was there some illegalities going on if she was with him when he was underage?
It's possible.
Quite possible.
But if he was a senior, then, you know, maybe he was 17,
Well, I think 18, I feel like that's when they probably came out with it, but...
Well, she was his babysitter.
Yeah.
But I don't think... Not even the family saying she, you know.
A second Duke fan is in, says, I would not want Filipowski on my NBA team. He's a giant soft bitch.
Wow. People are coming after him.
Oh, deal's in, too. You know who runs the Utah Jazz now?
Danny Ainge.
You know what Danny Ainge is?
Mormie.
Mormon.
Yeah.
Dude, this goes all the way to the top.
Danny probably sees a lot of himself in Kyle.
Oh, my gosh. The Mormons are at it again.
All right, well, good luck to him. I don't know. Coming up next.
By the way, I state for the record, I know nothing about Filipowski. Maybe he's a wonderful human being. I don't know.
Perhaps.
There's some great Mormons out there. Some of the nicest people you meet.
But he went to Duke.
That means I don't like
him. So we have to hate him.
Yeah, yeah. But do we hate J.J. Redick again?
And the story is totally believable.
Oh, 100%, yeah.
All right, coming up next, primetime follow-up, 344 on The Fan.
I think there might be soaking going on.
All right, coming up next hour, the NFL loses in court. Like the legend, but here I've got primetime follow-up. This is from yesterday. We got buried because we were drafting hard.
Mm-hmm.
But I was asking the question, because we were talking about the Nova Knicks, my Nova Knicks.
Yeah.
And the question was, what college team would be best if you moved it straight to the NBA? Starting five, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or even guys off the bench, but usually the best players are in the starting five. I have the answer.
Did Walton and Kareem ever play together?
They did not. I actually looked that up.
Because that was my first thought was, did they overlap? Because I know freshmen couldn't play. So I wondered if Kareem and him were technically there at the same time but didn't play.
What I looked up, they did not.
Okay.
Those UCLA teams, believe it or not, because they won so many titles.
Mm-hmm.
We think of Kareem and we think of Walton,
yeah.
But the reality is if you go back and look at the rosters of those teams, mm-hmm. It's kind of like, wait, who?
But it had
Walton and Kareem.
Walton and Kareem.
Anyway, so I've got two options for you that I think are the safest.
Okay.
One is the 1983 Houston Cougars.
Okay, so that's Ralph Sampson and
Nope. That was Hakeem Olajuwon. Mm. And Clyde Drexler.
Oh, that's sweet. Ralph Sampson, I'm sorry, he was with...
That was Five Slamma Jamma, right?
Ralph Sampson went to Virginia. I was just thinking of the Twin Towers in the NBA, Olajuwon and Sampson.
And Ralph Sampson played at Houston for the Rockets.
Yes.
But not college. So, 83, that team had Hakeem Olajuwon and Clyde Drexler, mm-hmm. Believe it or not, neither of those guys was their leading scorer.
Really?
Their leading scorer was a guy by the name of Michael Young, who ended up being a first-round pick of the Celtics. He flamed out.
Okay.
But they had two other draft picks on that team. So that's so
five
pretty...
NBA draft picks and two Hall of Famers. And yes. Not just Hall of Famers, but two of the 50, like when they did the All-Century team or whatever,
yes.
Two of the 50 greatest players.
Correct.
That's going to be tough to beat. The other one I thought of, and I don't know if you have on this, but like just off the top of my head, I was thinking because the Carolina national title team had Sam Perkins, James Worthy, Michael Jordan.
It did not. Oh, it did. Yes. Yeah, that was the other one that I had here.
Okay.
Michael Jordan, James Worthy, and Sam Perkins. There wasn't really anybody else of note on that team.
Yeah, I don't know if anyone else. I just remember those three guys. And Jordan was a freshman on that team, but...
Yeah, so you can pick one of those two and be safe thinking that that's the best bet.
I'd probably go
in Houston.
Yeah, Houston has... Although, dude, James Worthy's a Hall of Fame player, too. And you do get Michael. And Sleepy Sam was
Perkins,
nothing to... Yeah.
He was good.
He was good, but...
He was good.
That's tough.
Pretty good.
That's tough. You know, because obviously it's Jordan, right? I mean, you got two Hall of Famers. Like, both Olajuwon and Drexler greater than James Worthy, but Jordan greater than anything that Houston ran out.
Perkins might put it over the top.
Just for the balance.
Well, the third guy.
Yeah, the third guy that kind of puts it over
the top.
Because
you need that third guy.
I do wish that we would have gotten to see, had Michael not retired, because we would have gotten to see those Bulls teams against Olajuwon's Rockets team. And one of those did have Clyde. Older Clyde, but that was... You know, they were they won the two titles when Jordan took his little hiatus there, and that would have been fun. And maybe if Houston had nicked him one of those years, Olajuwon would get more credit than he does. Because I think he's a guy that kind of gets lost to history. We don't think about him. And by the way, and I know he was young, but in one of those finals, Olajuwon beat the bejesus out of Shaquille O'Neal.
Yeah.
And Shaq admits it. Shaq talks about how he you know, he's like, dude, Olajuwon ate my lunch. And that, for Shaq to say that about someone, dude, Shaq believes that he can do anything.
Well, the dream was...
He was
awesome.
Yes. In today's game...
He was before his time.
God, it'd be fun to watch him. People say like the Michigan Fab Five, like
no.
Jalen Rose and Jimmy King and Chris Webber compared to that, stop it.
And that's the thing, you that's why it's kind of a tough exercise. Like, you do go through teams and you go, oh, that old UCLA team that had Westbrook and Collison and
but most have
Love.
Two were, you know.
That's not that. I mean,
Zook, you asked about the Kentucky teams yesterday, and I've been going through, and there's a bunch of them that have two or three really good players.
But they all miss.
It's like 14-15 had Karl Anthony Towns, Devin Booker, Willie Cauley-Stein, Trey Lyles. Like, that's solid, but it's not going to
It feels like every one of these teams is going to have two like studs, but you're not gonna like, dude, you got Elijah Wan and Drexler and Jordan and Worthy. Like, I wondered if some of those can, I know this for like Carolina, that someone did it once, that if everyone stayed 4 years like they used to, some of the units that you would have had put together, like those were like the Jerry Stackhouse and Rasheed Wallace and all those guys. Same thing on those Kentucky teams.
Yeah, because you've got guys like Jamal Murray, Shea Gilgeous, Alexander. Like, you line all those up, but you get some pretty impressive places.
But the problem is that in ever since, you know, the 2000s, the last 20 plus years, it's one and done. So you never get a chance for any of those teams to really form super teams. Because the moment you get a guy that's really good, you know, he's gone. That was like, well, I think Durant and Aldridge, right? I think missed each other just barely because of stuff like that. You know, and I'm sure there's a million of those. Oh my God, if we had just kept them together. Because those Florida teams.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odyssey podcast. Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right. Second round of the NBA draft complete. Bronny goes 55 to the Lakers. So I just ordered my jersey, my Bronny jersey.
The Nike ad's already out.
Hopefully it's going to be, it's going to just, hopefully his jersey will just say Bronny and not James.
The ad is, it's a photo of him as a little kid, like, with a basketball in his hand. It says, pressure was never a question. And then it shows him now, and it says, when passion was always the answer.
All right.
What a douche.
Come on. Who ran that? Was it Nike?
That's Nike, yeah.
God, what a bad look for them. Nike, and that's terrible.
And then Woj.
Or was that a LeBron threat, too? Hey, you're going to put this out the moment they draft him.
There's a clip of Woj going around, too, where Woj is on the ESPN set, and Woj is angry. He goes, hey, I don't want to hear a thing about nepotism. Nepotism is rampant in the NBA. It's in the front office. It's in management. It's in coaching.
That doesn't mean this isn't the most egregious display of it. Jeez.
They've all gotten together. They've been threatened by LeBron.
Circle the wagons, boys. We're not letting them take us down.
And then Stephen A is like, yeah, absolutely. I agree. I love that LeBron and Clutch Sports have everyone by the balls and no one, and I mean no one, in the national media actually has any sort of integrity to say what's going on. I love it.
So now to Kyle Filipowski of Duke. He's the big white guy from Duke.
Yeah. Who, you know, he's a 7-foot guy that can move. He averaged like 16 and 8. Like, you would think if Klingon goes 7, you would think that Filipowski, you know, was a first round pick.
I know nothing, as I have mentioned many times.
Yes.
Okay. However.
However.
I have a hot second round draft take. Or no, a total overall draft take.
Okay, what do we got?
I like what Utah did.
You like the Utes, huh?
Well, yeah, they got Cody Williams, Isaiah Collier from USC.
Who at one point was viewed as a lottery guy.
And Kyle Filipowski.
Well, and I don't know if you...
I mean, that's pretty good.
I don't know if you realize the whole nepotism fit here, because we got LeBron, you know, forcing his kid to the Lakers. Guess what's in Utah?
The Mormon Church?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What is going on with Filipowski?
Yeah.
Apparently.
So...
he's been brainwashed.
Yeah, so here's the deal. Filipowski... I guess there was a podcast where Jonathan G.
Gavoni,
yes.
He is
NBA
a
guy.
Big draft guru. He knows what he's doing.
So he, as much as anyone, can't know what they're
doing. Yeah.
But he's kind of the industry leader as far as weird draft knowledge goes. Yeah.
So he's talking with Zach Lowe, and he basically said Kyle Filipowski didn't have very good workouts, and he also didn't interview well.
He said he was awkward and nervous. And
yeah, but then he also mentioned that his relationship with his girlfriend is what may be turning some teams off. And he said he's heard it a lot from, you know, in just whispers around the league that Filipowski's girlfriend, she babysat him when he was young.
Yeah.
She is like 25 or 26.
She's 28.
Now. Oh, she's 28 now.
Oh, because you know who's spreading this rumor? It's his family.
Yeah, his brother and
his
mom
brother
are on social
and mom
media.
Or on Twitter.
I've got that right here, but I was teeing that up. So she apparently babysat him. They now date. And the speculation is, or the accusation is that she was grooming him for the Mormon Church and to get in his wallet at a very young age. She's managed to technically do that and cut him off from his family. So here is Daniel Filipowski, Kyle's oldest brother. He is on Twitter and he says, I am Kyle's oldest brother. You all don't have a clue of the extent of this story that has to do with his girlfriend. There's a story that has been pushed under the table for nearly 2 years now. Well, I don't know who this is. Somebody saying, hey, DM me. And this guy, Daniel, says if Gavoni responds to my DMs, he would be able to get the full story that no one knows about outside of who's involved, Duke coaching staff and his agent. And then this guy says, oh, wow, hit up Gavoni. I'm not the right NBA newsbreaker for a big story like this. And then he says, other than messaging him on IG, don't know how to get in touch with him, but look up and read on Mormon grooming and brainwashing, and you'll find some introductory details in there to connect some dots into the story that is going on here.
Yikes.
Then mom chimes in, yeah. Becky, and she says, you are opening a 2-year issue, and she is 28 with an end game 3 years ago to have a diamond ring on her hand when Kyle left Duke. He was still in high school.
Yeah, I guess when she had already graduated college, she took him to his senior prom. Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then there's a bunch of photos of her, like, on Instagram within, you know, doing Mormon church things. And so
she's doing a little hawk to her?
I get, well, you know, maybe some soaking going
spit on.
I don't know what's happening. I just think it's great that if we can do the whole LeBron forcing, you know, Bronny to L.A., can we think that maybe this is a giant Mormon scheme to have Filipowski fall in the draft so that the Utah Jazz, home of the Mormons, can scoop him up?
Well, they did.
Yeah, now they did.
If that's true, it worked.
Hey, you know what? I like where this is going. It was kind of weird. Now, I did hear some stuff about him before the draft on some of the podcasts I was listening to that people don't think he can shoot very well and all that, but neither can Klingon. And I'm not saying they're the same player, but like they have very, very similar numbers. In fact, Filipowski's numbers are actually a little bit better.
He might have a better offensive ceiling than Klingon.
Yeah, but he's not the defensive player. Right. But it's just weird that like a 7-foot athletic guy that can move around, who was a really good college player, fell all the way in the draft. It's kind of strange. But wouldn't that be something if teams were like, I don't like this Mormon thing? You know, there aren't a lot of BYU kids that get drafted.
Yeah, I mean,
Jimmer.
But I think that's mainly because we don't have very good basketball players, but still.
Yeah, you're not like France.
No.
You're not very integrated.
We are not. We don't have the diverse background, according to Andy Katz.
Yeah, I guess I can see why that's a huge deal for teams, but I don't really know why it's that big of a deal. Well, I don't know. Maybe he's seen as gullible and like.
Well, is it possible too that you're just if you meet a kid and again you don't love his game, but you think he's athletic and you think he's a project, and then you're like, man, this. It's the same thing. Like you hear if you've got bad family issues, you come from a bad background and you make poor choices and you're just not comfortable. And maybe this is one of those where you just feel like there's a lot going on and that he thinks other things are more important. I don't know. Or maybe they hate the Mormons. I couldn't tell you.
Our good friend John Bertrand is in. He says, I watch a lot of Duke basketball. Kyle F. is a piece of crap. He reminds me of Zach Collins. Enough said.
Oh, wow. Yeah, Filipowski. I forgot. He's the guy that that did the flop.
My knee.
Yeah. In the court storming,
the flop on the court storming. He wasn't hurt, little bitch.
I just love that his mom and brother on draft night are just kneecapping him.
They're kneecapping her.
Well, yeah, but in return, they're
trying to blow the whistle on this story. Like, hey, look at this, man. Our son got hijacked by this bitch.
There are people. I do know. Be careful with this one. I had someone once come to me as someone that used to attend said religion. I often get approached by people looking for like the inside scoop. And I tell you, and I said this, by the way, when I was going to church, you should not use me as any sort of barometer for what the Mormon church has going on. But it has happened on more than one occasion where someone has come to me because a family member gets into a serious relationship and they feel like, you know, that they're being tricked or they're being brainwashed. And I'm like, well, would you say that if it was any other religion? They're like, well, it's the Mormons. I'm like, it's not as weird as you think. It's just, you know, so anytime, like if you start dating someone that's Jewish, you start dating someone that's Muslim, or you date someone that's vegan, you tend to take on some personalities of the people that you're dating. But the Mormon thing does kind of weird some people out from time to time.
Someone brings up a good question on the text line. Are we burying the main story? Was there some illegalities going on if she was with him when he was underage?
It's possible.
Quite possible.
But if he was a senior, then, you know, maybe he was 17,
Well, I think 18, I feel like that's when they probably came out with it, but...
Well, she was his babysitter.
Yeah.
But I don't think... Not even the family saying she, you know...
A second Duke fan is in, says, I would not want Filipowski on my NBA team. He's a giant soft bitch.
Wow. People are coming after him.
Oh, deal's in, too. You know who runs the Utah Jazz now?
Danny Ainge.
You know what Danny Ainge is?
Mormon. Yeah.
Dude, this goes all the way to the top.
Danny probably sees a lot of himself in Kyle.
Oh, my gosh. The Mormons are at it again.
All right. Well, good luck to him. I don't know. Coming up next.
By the way, I state for the record, I know nothing about Filipowski. Maybe he's a wonderful human being. I don't know.
Perhaps.
There's some great Mormons out there. Some of the nicest people you meet.
But he went to Duke.
That means I don't like
him. So
we
have to hate him.
Yeah. Yeah. But do we hate J.J. Redick again?
And the story is totally believable.
Oh, 100%. Yeah.
All right. Coming up next, primetime follow-up, 344 on The Fan.
I think there might be soaking going on.
All right, coming up next hour, the NFL loses in court. But here I've got primetime follow-up. This is from yesterday. We got buried because we were drafting hard.
Mm-hmm.
But I was asking the question, what, because we were talking about the Nova Knicks, my Nova Knicks.
Yeah.
And the question was, what college team would be best if you moved it straight to the NBA? Starting five, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or even guys off the bench, but usually the best players are in the starting five. I have the answer.
Did Walton and Kareem ever play together?
They did not. I actually looked that up.
Because that was my first thought was, did they overlap? Because I know freshmen couldn't play. So I wondered if Kareem and him were technically there at the same time but didn't play.
What I looked up, they did not.
Okay.
Those UCLA teams, believe it or not, because they won so many titles. Mm-hmm. We think of Kareem and we think of Walton,
yeah.
But the reality is if you go back and look at the rosters of those teams, mm-hmm. it's kind of like, wait, who?
But it had Walton and Kareem.
Anyway, so I've got two options for you that I think are the safest.
Okay.
One is the 1983 Houston Cougars.
Okay, so that's Ralph Sampson and
That was Hakeem Olajuwon. Mm. And Clyde Drexler.
Oh, that's who. Ralph Sampson, I'm sorry, he was with...
That was Phi Slamma Gemma, right?
Ralph Sampson went to Virginia. I was just thinking of the Twin Towers in the NBA, Olajuwon and Sampson.
And Ralph Sampson played at Houston for the Rockets.
Yes.
But not college. So, 83, that team had Hakeem Olajuwon and Clyde Drexler. Mm-hmm. And then, believe it or not, neither of those guys was their leading scorer.
Really?
Their leading scorer was a guy by the name of Michael Young, who ended up being a first-round pick of the Celtics. He flamed out.
Okay.
But they had two other draft picks on that team. So that's
five NBA draft picks and two Hall of Famers. And yes. Not just Hall of Famers, but two of the 50, like when they did the All-Century team or whatever,
yes.
Two of the 50 greatest players.
Correct.
That's going to be tough to beat. The other one I thought of, and I don't know if you have on this, but like just off the top of my head, I was thinking because the Carolina national title team had Sam Perkins, James Worthy, Michael Jordan.
It did not. Oh, it did. Yes. Yeah, that was the other one that I had here.
Okay.
Michael Jordan, James Worthy, and Sam Perkins. There wasn't really anybody else of note on that team.
Yeah, I don't know if anyone else. I just remember those three guys. And Jordan was a freshman on that team, but...
Yeah, so you can pick one of those two and be safe thinking that that's the best bet. I'd probably go in Houston.
Yeah, Houston has... Although, dude, James Worthy's a Hall of Fame player, too. And you do get Michael. And Sleepy Sam was
Perkins,
nothing to... Yeah,
he was good.
He was good, but...
He was good.
That's tough.
Pretty good.
That's tough. You know, because obviously it's Jordan, right? I mean, you got two Hall of Famers. Like, both Olajuwon and Drexler greater than James Worthy, but Jordan greater than anything that Houston ran out.
Perkins might put it over the top.
Just for the balance.
Well, the third guy.
Yeah, the third guy that kind of puts it over the top.
Because you need that third guy.
I do wish that we would have gotten to see, had Michael not retired, because we would have gotten to see those Bulls teams against Olajuwon's Rockets team. And one of those did have Clyde. Older Clyde, but that was... You know, they were they won the two titles when Jordan took his little hiatus there, and that would have been fun. And maybe if Houston had nicked him one of those years, Olajuwon would get more credit than he does. Because I think he's a guy that kind of gets lost to history. We don't think about him. And by the way, and I know he was young, but in one of those finals, Olajuwon beat the bejesus out of Shaquille O'Neal.
Yeah.
And Shaq admits it. Shaq talks about how he, you know, he's like, dude, Olajuwon ate my lunch. And that, for Shaq to say that about someone, dude, Shaq believes that he can do anything.
Well, the dream was.
He was
awesome.
Yes. Today's game.
He was before his time.
God, it'd be fun to watch him.
People
say like the Michigan Fab Five, like no.
No.
No. Jalen Rose and Jimmy King and Chris Webber compared to that, stop it.
And that's the thing, that's why it's kind of a tough exercise. Like, you do go through teams and you go, oh, that old UCLA team that had Westbrook and Collison and
Love. Two were, you know.
That's not that. I mean,
Zook, you asked about the Kentucky teams yesterday, and I've been going through, and there's a bunch of them that have two or three really good players.
But they all miss.
It's like 14-15 had Karl-Anthony Towns, Devin Booker, Willie Cauley-Stein, Trey Lyles. Like, that's solid, but it's not going to be.
It feels like every one of these teams is going to have two like studs, but you're not gonna like, dude, you got Olajuwon and Drexler and Jordan and Worthy. Like, I wondered if some of those can, I know this for like Carolina, that someone did it once, that if everyone stayed 4 years like they used to, some of the units that you would have had put together, like those were like the Jerry Stackhouse and Rasheed Wallace and all those guys, same thing on those Kentucky teams.
Yeah, because you've got guys like Jamal Murray, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. Like, you line all those up, but you get some pretty impressive places.
But the problem is that ever since, you know, the 2000s, the last 20 plus years, it's one and done. So you never get a chance for any of those teams to really form super teams. Because the moment you get a guy that's really good, you know, he's gone. That was like, well, I think Durant and Aldridge, right? I think missed each other just barely because of stuff like that. You know, there, and I'm sure there's a million of those. Oh my God, if we had just kept them together. Because those Florida teams would have been pretty good too. Because that you would add like Al Horford and then, you know, Joakim Noah and Brewer and all those guys. But you would have added a couple of the other guys that had just left.
Yeah, but even that, that's no Hakeem Clyde combo.
That's pretty good.
It's hard to beat that.
Yeah.
Right there. Okay, we're going to get into this NFL story. They lose in court. And one of the reasons the Lakers draft Bronny is because not even the teams care about the number 55 pick.
No.
So who is the greatest number 55 pick of all time? Mm. I have the answer to that.
Ooh, I like it. I like it.
Next hour on The Fan. All right, coming up next hour, the NFL loses in court. Like the legend, but here I've got primetime follow-up. This is from yesterday. We got buried because we were drafting hard. Mm-hmm. But I was asking the question, because we were talking about the Nova Knicks, my Nova Knicks.
Yeah.
And the question was, what college team would be best if you moved it straight to the NBA? Starting five, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or even guys off the bench, but usually the best players are in the starting five. I have the answer.
Did Walton and Kareem ever play together?
They did not. I actually looked that up.
Because that was my first thought was, did they overlap? Because I know freshmen couldn't play. So I wondered if Kareem and him were technically there at the same time but didn't play.
What I looked up, they did not.
Okay.
Those UCLA teams, believe it or not, because they won so many titles. Mm-hmm. We think of Kareem and we think of Walton, but the reality is if you go back and look at the rosters of those teams, mm-hmm. it's kind of like, wait, who?
But it had
Walton and Kareem.
Walton and Kareem.
Anyway, so I've got two options for you that I think are the safest.
Okay.
One is the 1983 Houston Cougars.
Okay, so that's Ralph Sampson and
That was Hakeem Olajuwon. Mm. And Clyde Drexler.
Oh, that's who. Ralph Sampson, I'm sorry, he was with...
That was Five Slamma Jamma, right?
Ralph Sampson went to Virginia. I was just thinking of the Twin Towers in the NBA, Olajuwon and Sampson.
And Ralph Sampson played at Houston for the Rockets.
Yes.
But not college. So, 83, that team had Hakeem Olajuwon and Clyde Drexler. Mm-hmm. And then, believe it or not, neither of those guys was their leading scorer.
Really?
Their leading scorer was a guy by the name of Michael Young, who ended up being a first-round pick of the Celtics. He flamed out.
Okay.
But they had two other draft picks on that team. So that's
five NBA draft picks and two Hall of Famers. And not just Hall of Famers, but two of the 50, like when they did the All-Century team or whatever, two of the 50 greatest players.
Correct.
That's going to be tough to beat. The other one I thought of, and I don't know if you have on this, but like just off the top of my head, I was thinking because the Carolina national title team had Sam Perkins, James Worthy, Michael Jordan.
It did not. Oh, it did. Yes. That was the other one that I had here.
Okay.
Michael Jordan, James Worthy, and Sam Perkins. There wasn't really anybody else of note on that team.
I don't know if anyone else. I just remember those three guys. And Jordan was a freshman on that team, but...
Yeah, so you can pick one of those two and be safe thinking that that's the best bet. I'd probably go in Houston.
Houston has... Although, dude, James Worthy's a Hall of Fame player, too. And you do get Michael. And Sleepy Sam was
Perkins,
nothing to... Yeah.
He was good.
He was good, but...
He was good.
That's tough.
Pretty good.
That's tough. You know, because obviously it's Jordan, right? I mean, you got two Hall of Famers. Like, both Olajuwon and Drexler greater than James Worthy, but Jordan greater than anything that Houston ran out.
Perkins might put it over the top.
Just for the balance.
Well, the third guy.
Yeah, the third guy that kind of puts it
Because you
over
need that
top.
Third guy.
I do wish that we would have gotten to see had Michael not retired, because we would have gotten to see those Bulls teams against Olajuwon's Rockets team. And one of those did have Clyde. Older Clyde, but that was... You know, they were they won the two titles when Jordan took his little hiatus there, and that would have been fun. And maybe if Houston had nicked him one of those years, Olajuwon would get more credit than he does, because I think he's a guy that kind of gets lost to history. We don't think about him. And by the way, and I know he was young, but in one of those finals, Olajuwon beat the bejesus out of Shaquille O'Neal.
Yeah,
and Shaq admits it. Shaq talks about how he you know, he's like, dude, Olajuwon ate my lunch. And that, for Shaq to say that about someone, dude, Shaq believes that he can do anything.
Well, the dream was...
He was
He was awesome.
Yes. In today's game,
he was before his time.
God, it'd be fun to watch him. People say like the Michigan Fab Five, like no. Jalen Rose and Jimmy King and Chris Webber compared to that, stop it.
And that's the thing, that's why it's kind of a tough exercise. Like, you do go through teams and you go, oh, that old UCLA team that had Westbrook and Collison and
but most have
Love.
Two were, you know.
That's not that. I mean,
Zook, you asked about the Kentucky teams yesterday, and I've been going through, and there's a bunch of them that have two or three really good players,
but they all miss.
It's like 14-15 had Karl Anthony Towns, Devin Booker, Willie Cauley-Stein, Trey Lyles. Like, that's solid, but it's not going to be.
It feels like every one of these teams is going to have two. Like studs, but you're not gonna dude. You got Olajuwon and Drexler and Jordan and Worthy. Like, I wondered if some of those can. I know this for like Carolina, that someone did it once. That if everyone stayed 4 years like they used to, some of the units that you would have had put together, like those were like the Jerry Stackhouse and Rasheed Wallace and all those guys. Same thing on those Kentucky teams.
Yeah, because you've got guys like Jamal Murray, Shea Gilgeous, Alexander. Like, you line all those up, but you get some pretty impressive places.
But the problem is that in ever since, you know, the 2000s, the last 20 plus years, it's one and done. So you never get a chance for any of those teams to really form super teams. Because the moment you get a guy that's really good, you know, he's gone. That was like, well, I think Durant and Aldridge, right? I think missed each other just barely because of stuff like that. You know, and I'm sure there's a million of those. Oh my God, if we had just kept them together. Because those Florida teams would have been pretty good too, because that you would add like Al Horford and then, you know, Joakim Noah and Brewer and all those guys. But you would have added a couple of the other guys that had just left.
Yeah, but even that, that's no Hakeem Clyde combo.
That's pretty good.
It's hard to beat that.
Yeah.
Right there. Okay, we're going to get into this NFL story. They lose in court. And one of the reasons the Lakers draft Bronny is because not even the teams care about the number 55 pick.
No.
So who is the greatest number 55 pick of all time? Mm. I have the answer to that.
I like it. I like it.
Next hour on The Fan.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.